Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this morning Devo. Just a quick note before I read the passage, I just want to take a moment to point out that we are officially a quarter of the way through our one-year journey through the New Testament. So if you've been following along with us from the beginning, well done. I hope and pray that as you've been reading, you've been experiencing the power of God and that these words that you've been reading have been speaking to you at every step of the way. If you've only just recently joined, or maybe you kind of just recently realized that this is part of a one-year plan that we're doing, or maybe your participation has been a little spotty at times, that's okay. It's better that you join now and keep going. And so let's make this next quarter a good one. I hope that as we spend more time reading in the Word, continue on in this journey through the New Testament, that you'll be filled with more of the presence of God. And so I just wanted to just mark this day as the end of the first quarter. We're going to continue on Monday with the book of John. But today we're wrapping up the book of James. And so let me read James chapter 5 for us. And then I'll share some thoughts afterwards. James chapter 5. "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." Amen. There are a few different things that we could focus on today as we go through this final chapter of the book of James. But today I want to focus on what we just read near the end of the chapter and talk about prayer. In verses 13 through 15, James urges us to pray. He basically seems to take what Paul says about praying without ceasing and puts specific scenarios to it. He writes, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him." Why should we pray? Well, James puts it very matter-of-factly. The prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Basically, if I were to kind of summarize that, as James lays it out more explicitly in verse 16, prayer has power. He uses the example of Elijah to make this point. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, meaning he was just a regular old human being like you and me. But this regular person prayed fervently that it might not rain, and it didn't for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and it did rain. James brings this up to make the point that prayer works, that there is power in prayer. It's not just something we do to make ourselves feel better or as simply just some religious act. Prayer has power. One of the things that stands out to me here, though, is, yeah, certainly that. And so I do hope that we can pray in great faith. But it's also that James doesn't just encourage us to pray on our own, but also with one another. In verse 16, he says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." Now, a couple of things I want to bring up here. First, what does confession have to do with healing? Well, the reality is that unrepentant sin is one of the things that can keep us from a life of freedom. Sin that is kept hidden and not brought before God keeps us from receiving the fullness of God's love, grace, and forgiveness, which can then lead to a whole slew of other problems, namely a heart that moves further and further from God and increasingly infiltrated by the enemy. The confession of sins, however, and then the ensuing repentance leads us out of that sort of bondage and into freedom and healing. I was just recently part of a seminar on deliverance ministry, and that's one of the things the speaker said, that deliverance and freedom from spiritual bondage is a form of healing. Confession leads to that kind of healing. It's a step towards removing the barrier of sin that stands between us and God and allows us to move closer into deeper intimacy with God. This leads to my second thing. You might be wondering, why does James tell us to confess our sins to one another? This is a great question because my guess is that most of us, if you're even in the practice of confession at all, associate it with something you do in private, with God, not with others. And certainly the practice of confession and repentance of sins is something that we should be doing before God. And again, if you're not doing that at all, I would highly encourage it. But as we see here, confession specifically isn't meant to only be this solo thing, this private thing between you and God. It is that, and we should be confessing, but it's not only about that. Yes, only God can forgive sins, so us confessing our sins to others isn't to somehow receive forgiveness of sins from other people. But being in the practice of confessing our sins to one another can allow us to bring to light the sins that we may be tempted to keep hidden, and also provide us with prayer and spiritual covering when we might feel weak. What I mean by this is maybe you've sinned in a particular way and you're feeling discouraged and beaten down. By confessing that sin to a trusted brother or sister in Christ, he or she can pray for you and be a part of your journey of healing, even if you may find it difficult to pray, at least in that particular moment. By confessing our sins to one another, we keep each other accountable, not only in the practical sense of checking in on each other and kind of just knowing what's going on, but it provides us with a spiritual accountability, a spiritual covering where we can cover each other with the truth of God and aid one another towards healing that's found in the power of God. I recognize that the confessing part probably doesn't come naturally to many of us. This is a generalization, but I think many of us in our day and age, we often keep things surface level. We all crave openness and vulnerability and authenticity. That's the kind of thing I hear a lot from people. But at the same time, we have this competing desire to maintain a front of strength and being put together. We're often very afraid of showing our weaknesses. And I get it. To be honest, that's my natural tendency as well. But as we read here, and as I have personally experienced for myself, the confession of sins, as uncomfortable as it might seem, is completely worth it. And the thing is, it doesn't have to be super complicated or intense. It doesn't require you having to set aside time and, you know, be in this somber mood and confess sins to a trusted brother or sister. It can be something that's kind of just, yes, done seriously, done with intentionality, but can be done in a very simple manner. Just to give a personal example, I forget what convicted me to do this, but about a year or two ago, I decided that I needed to practice this better, to practice confession more. And so I texted one of my closest friends, a brother who isn't here in Boston, and the TLDR of it is that we agreed to be in the regular practice of confessing our sins to one another, even just over text. We don't necessarily have a specific rhythm for this. It's not like we dedicate like Friday mornings to confessions or something. But when I'm convicted of my sin, when I recognize that I've stumbled in one way or another, I'll text this friend. And again, it's relatively simple. It might just be something like, "Hey, man, today I'm really battling with insecurity," or You know, my attitude these days have been one of grumbling and even bitterness sometimes. Those are just a couple examples, but whatever it is, I know that I have a brother in Christ praying for me. And oftentimes, me actually sharing with somebody rather than just keeping it within my own mind, just kind of ruminating over it, sharing is one step in bringing it into the open, bringing it into the light. And it's often my first step in coming before God in personal confession and repentance, all of which leads towards healing. So as a church, and all of you listening, I hope that all of us can be in the practice of confessing our sins to one another, and from there, praying for each other. We all want to live lives of freedom and healing, so let's be in this practice of confession and prayer. And if you don't have people in your life right now with whom you think you can do this, I invite you to pray. Pray for brothers and sisters that you can turn to. And if you do have those people, but maybe you're just a little afraid to do it, I want to give you a little bit of a nudge. Take that step. Take that step. Meet up with this brother or this sister. Share a little bit of the context and be in this practice of confessing sins to one another and praying over one another such that we may all experience greater healing and freedom in Christ. But let me pray to wrap up our Devo today. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this gift that we have of prayer. And that prayer is also not just something we do on our own, but it's also something we can and should do with one another. Thank you that we can pray with and for one another and be a part of one another's healing, growth, and sanctification. I pray over all of those listening today, help us to take this step, to not keep our sins hidden, but to bring them into the light, to be in this practice of sharing with one another, being open with one another, and then from there, being willing to receive prayer, or if we're on the end of receiving confession, that we might be able to bless our brothers and sisters and point them towards you and be a part of their healing in you. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your forgiveness. When we come to you, you give us that healing. So Lord, help us again to be in this practice, to be prayerful always. We thank you, God, for once again for this time in your word. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, thanks for joining us through this book of James. We're going to be starting a new book on Monday, so I hope you will continue to join us then, and have a good weekend, everybody.